Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Duluth Rundown, a podcast focused on the local Twin Ports running scene. My name is Tony Stensland with Tony Stensland Coaching.
And I am Mike Ward with Duluth Timing and Events.
All right, quick thank you before we get started to our sponsor of this episode, Austin Jaro, Duluth's original running store. That's the place to get your running shoes. Great advice from all the people that work up there. Check out their website, austin-jaro.com. They are also on Facebook and Instagram. Drive on up to their location on Central Entrance, just on the other side of where the Home Depot is, but on the other side of the road. Or give them a call, 218-722-1185. Thanks so much to Austin Jaro. All right. Welcome, everybody, to episode number 40 of the Duluth Rundown podcast. It's good to be back. It's only been maybe 3 weeks, but it feels like it's been a little bit longer, I feel like, since we last talked. Make sure to tune in later on to the interview section as well, everyone, to Jill Anderson, our conversation with Jill Anderson. She has some really cool stories to share and some really cool insight. So tune into that. We'll get ready here for the rundown portion of the podcast. And as usual, joined by my partner in crime, Mr. Mike Ward. Mike, what's up?
Nothing.
Yeah. Just living the summer life of Duluth.
Let's get right into results.
Let's do it.
So we have lots of results from a couple weeks back on June 18th and 19th, which was, of course, Grandma's Marathon weekend.
Ta-da!
So our last podcast was right before Grandma's Marathon weekend, and now it seems like centuries ago.
Right.
But, super fun to just see the race go on. I feel like that was a turning point, almost like just nationwide, kind of for COVID, you know? Like, I feel like even in the national news, like that kind of time period was a little bit of like really like things can happen. And I, personally, then to see the race, and especially like afterwards, I was in Bayfront, I was in the crowd,
nice,
and it was just amazing.
Yeah,
amazing to see. And it, I mean, furthermore, and I'm healthy as ever, you know, so like it's just actual proof that, you know, we can be in groups now and do races and these things. And just so awesome to see that. And I think the race itself, great weather.
Yeah, it was an awesome day just to watch the runners go by. I think if you knew that it was a smaller crowd, that like fewer race participants, you almost couldn't tell.
You're right.
Because it just felt like old times. It was so fun to watch. Where did you watch the race from?
I didn't watch it at all.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, actually, I volunteered.
Oh, that's right. You were volunteering.
Yeah, I kind of had a wonky shift. I got down there at 7 p.m. on Friday, after the 5K, and I helped put up some barricades and things, and figured I'd just hang out for a few hours and help out where I'm needed. And next thing I know, I'm on the scaffolding at the finish line, setting up banners, and it's midnight. But my main volunteer duty was to escort the Coca-Cola driver to each aid station, starting at 3:30 a.m. And so I at 7 p.m. thought it would be a great idea. I'll get a little jog down. I don't know where to park anyway, so I'll jog down. Then at midnight, it's like I should probably get to sleep, and I have to run home. And so I ran home, and there's, you know, people partying in the streets, and I'm like jogging. You know, they're like, wrong way.
Yeah.
I'm not even gonna answer. You know, nice. Run home, and then I took like an hour nap, essentially.
Yeah.
You know, and got up and delivered the whole, you know, for the, which was interesting because I've done the race itself the last 12 years or so.
Yeah.
And it was kind of fun to see that side of it, I guess, the setup in just the very early morning. And anyway, so then I promptly went back to sleep after that.
Nice. Yeah,
I got back at 6 or 7 a.m. so
yeah, that was probably a wise choice.
Yeah,
to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't watch it at all. What about you?
I was down by Glensheen. That was a good spot. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about that. That's the worst spot of the whole course.
Yeah. Race. Yeah. It's a good spot to be needed, I think.
Sure. And sure.
Yes. And like we were saying, it was just a great day. The weather was really good for both runners and spectators, yeah, really. A little cool for the spectators, which is what you want for the runners.
Right.
But it was just a really good time to see so many people go by. And,
Yeah. It's just like old times.
Yep.
Well, let's get into some of the champions of the day. Let's start with the marathon. Milton Rotich. Rotich. Milton Rotich. Hailing originally from Kenya, but is listed as Albuquerque. That must be his training area.
He has trained in Albuquerque, yeah.
And actually, Milton was on the podcast interview that we did with Bones.
That's right.
He kind of shared the microphone, so pretty quiet in the interview. But
right after Bones' victory of Grandma's in 2019. Right,
yeah, so that's pretty neat to now have interviewed
two Grandma's champions.
The last two Grandma's champions.
Yeah.
Milton ran a 2:13:04, so definitely a great time. Smoked the competition. Second place was CJ Albertson, with a 2:14:29. And then third place overall was Joseph Whelan with a 2:16:25. So these are all obviously elite, probably professional athletes. Definitely some good times on the lady side as well. Dakota Lindworm, 26 from Eagan, Minnesota, wins it with a 2:29:04. I believe that's the first Minnesotan Grandma's champion.
Is that right?
I might have to be fact-checked on that, but I swear.
Yeah, I don't think that's necessarily, well.
Since a certain time, for sure.
Yeah.
Notable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Winner from
Very
Minnesota.
Notable. Yep.
Really cool. Katja Goldring was second place with a 2:31:30. And Tristan Van Ord, another 26-year-old, hailing from Blowing Rock, North Carolina, was third place for the ladies, 2:32:55. And, just kind of trying to scroll around, seeing if there are any, notable local finishers. And it's just, there's too many people. It's hard to see. But overall, 2,776 finishers in the marathon. So really exciting to see. In the half, Mohamed Hrezi took first place, 1:04:14. On the ladies' side, the first place winner was Ann Centner with a 1:14:23. And let's see. Oh, here's a local finisher, Isaac Bodeheimer, 22 from Cloquet, with a 1:12:30. Isaac is really cranking it up lately. That's cool to see.
That's fast.
Oh, right behind him, Jackson Lindquist, maybe a former area runner. I think Jackson used to be from Carlton area.
Okay.
1:12:31. I'm sure they know each other. So, a little bit more of a local presence in the half, in the top realms here. And then moving to the William A. Irvin 5K, the winner of that was Mason Shea, 19 years old from River Falls, Wisconsin, with a 16:26. And second place overall, first place ladies, Christina King, 29 from Chicago, 17:26. So definitely some speedy times. Let's see, so we had 2,776 finishers in the full, 3,305 finishers in the half, and 1,054 in the 5K.
Nice.
Really cool. Anything else to note from Grandma's weekend there, Tony?
The only thing I would have to say, it was just really fun to see a lot of local people go by and get a chance to cheer them on. Yeah, it's too many to mention. I'm picturing them all in my head as they were running by me right now.
Yeah.
But it was just great to see a lot of friends go by.
Yeah, we're looking on the first page of results here. So, this kind of, on and off on what we're going to find in terms of shout-outs. But, yeah, a lot of locals, obviously. And I'm sure there's going to be more locals, like such as myself. I missed the cut to sign up, so I didn't race,
Yeah.
And so I'm definitely looking forward to next year. First of all, now I have kind of the, kick myself in the butt for not signing up on time. But hopefully, and I expect that the registration limits will be kind of back to normal.
I would think so, yeah. Yep.
We have a couple other races locally that have gone on as well, which is just so exciting to finally see after almost 2 years, it seems, for sure, a year and a half.
Yeah.
You know, those races coming back. The regional favorite Dragon Tail 5 mile in Lake Nebagamon, Wisconsin, was on July 3rd, just this past Saturday, I guess, a couple days ago.
Yeah.
First place with Joel LaFrance from Minneapolis with a 30 minutes and 2 seconds. David Teague from Lake Nebagamon, second place, 30:15. Third place for the guys, Emmett Johnson from South Range with a 30:29. Emmett is a 16-year-old. Nice job, Emmett. For the ladies, Jen Ryan won it with a 37:23. Second place was Anna Berthamue from Minot, North Dakota, with a 39:41. Then we had Heather Phillips from Kakuna, Wisconsin, with a 40:21. And, we have this Tony Stenslin guy, 11th place, with a 34:47 as well. So nice job, Tony.
Yeah, thanks.
How did it feel?
Oh, man, it was a lot of fun. It hurt. Probably the last 2.5 miles, the thoughts running through my head went a little bit like this. Oh, my gosh, I want to walk. Don't walk, don't walk. Oh, my gosh, I think I need to walk. No, no, don't walk, don't walk. Should I walk? No, don't walk. That was pretty much the last 2.5 miles
Internal battle.
In my head. Yeah, it was hard. It was a lot of fun, though. It was fun to run fast, or try to push yourself.
Yeah.
Fun to compete, fun to have, like I mentioned in the interview section, just to have a mass start, and then to, like, you're racing with somebody, they pass you, you pass them, and then the finish line, you shake their hands, hey, great job, and that was just fun to get back to that again.
Was that going on with Barry at all? Barry, who we've interviewed in the past, Barry Brokaw, was, gosh, less than a minute behind you.
Barry and I ran the first mile together pretty much. We were chatting a little bit. And then, I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, I was like a couple of seconds ahead of him. And then I think it just, I don't know. I didn't look back. So
yeah.
I don't know. I guess it just strung out from there. But from there, I was just trying to chase people down. There's a guy in a green shirt that I was trying to catch, which I finally did catch him. But then I got passed by a couple other younger guys, too.
Right.
So anyway, it was a lot of fun. And my wife, Gretchen, went with as well. And so she also placed in her age group. Which was fun. And then we took the paddle boards out onto the lake after that and paddled around the lake. So it was a good time.
Super fun.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And then the last race that we have from our recent race results was the very next day, Sadas 5K, the 4th of July Classic in the area, which is in Cloquet, Minnesota. That was won by Andrew Papke Larson, 31 from Duluth, with a 16:35. Second place was Sam Boitart from Cloquet, 17 years old, 17 minutes flat. And then Jake Mertz, another 17-year-old as well from Cloquet, was third place, 17:09. On the ladies' side, Christy Nixon from Duluth, 34 years old, won the race, 20 minutes, 19 seconds. Shortly thereafter, Anna Ryan came in. She's 18 from Hugo, 20:39. And then Lizzie Lou Harnell, 14 years old, from Proctor, was third place with a 21:15. Right in front of some guy, Jarl Wahman, 59, with a 21:13.
Jarl was at the Lake Nebagamon race, too.
Back-to-back.
Yeah.
Nice job.
Jarl and Veronica both ran that.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, again, really fun to see some solid recent races. And then also, we have a pretty healthy slate of upcoming races in the next couple weeks.
I know. It's pretty impressive.
So here's what we're looking at. Here in Duluth, just on Wednesday, upcoming, this is Wednesday, July 7th, we have the YMCA Sidewalk Shuffle, which is a great race down in Canal Park, kind of the counterpart to Sidewalk Days that the Y puts on. Really fun business race, you know, business team type
yep.
event.
Yeah.
This upcoming weekend, July 10th, is the Eugene Curnow Trail Marathon. Really excited to see that go on again. And that gives me hope for the fall NMTC Trail Series.
That's right.
To go on as normal. So Eugene Curnow and then Voyager are all set to go. And then on the 15th of July, which is a Thursday evening, is the Park Point 5-miler. And I believe that's the 50th anniversary.
The Park Point 5-miler, yeah.
Wow. Amazing. So there definitely appears to be still time to register for, I think, any of those races. Right now I'm just on the Park Point 5-miler because that could fill up. Now I have kind of PTSD from grandma's filling up. So there is still slots open, it appears, for the Park Point 5-miler for one. So awesome to see just races coming back.
Yep, yep. It's going to be a good summer.
Yeah. So, moving on. Trails report. Have you been on the trails lately, Tony?
A little bit of Hartley and a little bit of Bagley, and we're recording this on, what, Monday the 5th?
Yeah.
And, you know, before the rain's supposed to come tomorrow, but right now the trails are bone dry, dusty. Even. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're in a drought condition right now, so.
I was a little concerned about all the fireworks last night, actually.
right. It's dusty, it's dry. Hopefully that rain kind of just soaks right in and makes them a little tackier. We can certainly use it. So
I imagine it's supposed to be kind of a rainy day all day, but my guess is the trails won't be closed too long. I think they'll dry up pretty quick. So
I have not been in Chester lately. I don't
really
like kind of a lot of dogs and stuff, and just it's easier to run the road sometimes. So
sure,
I can't even comment on Chester, my local trail.
Yeah.
So yeah,
I haven't been in Chester in a long time either.
Moving on, we have the Coach's Corner. I know you have a topic that is very timely for a day like today.
Yeah, so the last couple, 3 days, you know, we've had this heat wave, so just running in the heat and what to do and how to handle it. The obvious one is, you know, slow down, shorten your run a little bit, try to slow down. The next obvious one is to run either early in the morning or in the evening, preferably in the morning, because sometimes the evenings take longer to cool down as that heat is built up in the atmosphere throughout the day. But another trick, too, is what you can do is you can double. You can run in the morning and in the evening and split your run up in half. So if you've got 6 miles on the schedule, just do 3 and 3.
Right.
And then you're not out in the heat as long, and that's a good way to do it. Heck, you can even if you're doing that, you can say normally an early morning run might be 6 a.m. You could even wait till like 8 maybe and do that 3-milers, and then maybe 5 p.m. or something, do another 3, and then boom, you've got your daily mileage in that way. So
right.
I think doubling sometimes is a good way to do it.
Oh yeah. No matter what the season, doubling I think is good.
Absolutely, yeah. But it's certainly a good trick to beat the heat a little bit.
Right. I like, you know, picking a route that's in the shade.
For sure.
I think that helps a lot.
That's a great thing about Bagley and Hartley too. Any of the trails really are pretty shady. But gosh, you really notice the difference in Bagley when you go in there. It must be 10-15 degrees cooler as soon as you get into those trails.
Right. You know, go back to some of these upcoming races. I think anyone who's done a Voyager knows about the power lines.
Right.
And how you're just in the shade practically the whole day, it seems, and then you get to the power lines on the way back, you know, I guess depending on where you are in the race. But just that direct sunlight just saps you,
and
you know?
It's just brutal, and it's always hotter kind of over in that part of town than in other parts of town, so that plays into it. But yeah, the heat is the sunlight out there,
shade makes a difference. I think
shade makes a huge difference. I don't mind heat as much, but that direct sunlight, that exposure to the sunlight zaps me more than anything.
Oh my gosh, it sure does. Now I've heard, you know, and this is mainly on like kind of clickbaity type stuff on the internet, but you know, you actually have an advantage similar to like running at altitude
for
training,
for humidity,
running in the heat.
Yeah, heat and humidity. That's what I've read too. I believe it's me and my running mentors from back in the day, we always called it poor man's altitude training. You know, and I think there is something to it. When the humidity and the deep dew point is up really high, it's just harder to kind of get some of the oxygen to the working muscles. So
do you believe at this point that it's a physiological thing, or is it more just mental of like you get out there, you grind it out, it's painful, and you get through it?
I think there are some physiological benefits to it. I do actually. But definitely mental too. If you can train through a summer, you know you're going to be fit in the fall.
But just like any type of running training, like there's a limit to where you're going to see a benefit. Like,
yeah,
you don't
want to
run 200 miles a week.
Right. Absolutely. I mean,
you
the
don't
heat
run and
I almost think the heat's probably a little more dangerous than the extreme cold.
Oh yeah.
You know, so you do have to be cautious about it and learn where your thresholds are. Some people don't handle the heat as well as others.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I heard on the news, especially with all the nationwide, like, really extreme heat waves, that heat is the number one, like, weather-related killer.
Oh, really?
In the nation.
Huh.
Heat.
Heat?
Yep.
More so than, like, hurricanes or tornadoes or something.
I guess, I don't know. It's just kind of that.
Yeah.
Eye-popping.
Heat. Yeah.
Eye-popping headline.
Well,
number one killer.
Yeah, the whole country, I think, is pretty much under some sort of heat wave right now. So, yeah, I believe that. I think that's probably true.
It's a fine line, I guess, to be able to. I think, like, the key to training in the heat for the benefit is to have that cop-out option if you really, you know, for instance, running next to the lake. Like, if you start getting dizzy or something, to be able to jump in and immediately cool your body, I think. Or else, you just don't want to be out on a country road miles out.
Exactly.
And you start feeling dizzy or something and you're out of water.
Yeah, absolutely. Be smart with your routes, for sure. And it goes without saying, but I'm going to say it, is be hydrated before the run and after the run. I mean, drinking way more than what you normally would.
Yeah.
So.
I think running in the hot heat's kind of fun, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it's miserable, but that's kind of what makes it.
And once you start to get adapted to it, it's just not as bad. And I agree. You start to almost enjoy it a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just for the masochistic elements of it.
Right. Exactly.
All right. Let's talk about the root of the week. What's your root of the week this time?
So, Tony? My root of the week is the DWP grade. That's a really nice place to go run.
Yeah.
Starting at the lower chalet of Spirit Mountain on Grand Avenue there.
Yep.
And
you just go up the hill a bit, and then it's that
then
kind
take
of
that
catwalk.
Yeah, almost. Exactly. Yeah. It's a SHT trail that I usually take. I usually just walk up that trail. I don't run up it. Just walk up that short little trail and then take a left on the DWP grade. And they have some new signage out there now, which is really nice. It's like 4 miles to the entrance of the tunnel. The road itself ends. You go through the tunnel and then, or not the road, but the trail ends at Skyline. And then you can, what I usually do is, that's about 5 miles. And then I'll take a right on Skyline and run up Skyline a little bit until I get to whatever turnaround I need for my total distance for the day.
Sure.
And that's just a really nice run. You do have to walk through the tunnel because it's so dark you can't see, and it's just a little safer to walk through unless you have a headlamp or something.
Right.
But they've put all new rock down throughout the entire trail. Now has been resurfaced. It's that crushed limestone, a lot like Old Hartley Road is, or Western Waterfront, I think, is kind of that same stuff.
Yeah.
Right now, it's not quite worked in a lot. It needs another year, probably at least a winter of snow kind of packing it down, and then the spring to melt it all off. But it's nice, and you don't have to worry about wet spots anymore and some of the mud. Right. There used to be a few spots that were
puddles.
Always puddles, and now that won't be the case anymore. But it's a really nice trail. I really enjoy it. I'm training for whistle stop, so I'm going to use that as a nice whistle stop training ground, because it's a little bit uphill going out, and then once you make your turnaround, wherever your turnaround, Skyline or at the end of the trail, then you have downhill coming back, so it's a little more of a grade similar to whistle stop, that downhill grade. So then you can kind of late in your run, you can start to open up your speed a little bit, which is kind of nice training too.
Right.
Try to negative split
right
a little bit.
What I like about the DWP as well is that there is so many turn off, split off options.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, the Skyline, but also trail wise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's I think a good option to do a little bit of a trail, a little bit of more flat open, not necessarily road, but it's pretty easy running. It's
right.
Not technical.
Right. Exactly. Yep.
So,
it's trail, but. But yeah, you can. I always just wear road shoes.
Right.
Like I mentioned with those rocks, though, don't wear like a racing flat or anything like that. Wear your normal training shoes, because those rocks are still pretty big and sharp, and there's plenty of them. So you need some cushioning underneath your feet.
Now, recently, did you see other traffic? Because I know there's cyclists that ride on that and horses as well. Right?
Yeah, horses can be on it. I've never seen a horse on it.
Uh-huh.
I saw very few people. I was on it on Sunday. I did 12.
Yeah.
Out there on Sunday, very few. I saw two cyclists, a handful of walkers, I think like birders. Yeah, people looking for birds.
I
saw a group of about 5 or 6 birders.
Wow.
And that was it. I saw Don Kuchenbecker out there walking. So I typically don't see a lot of people.
Nice.
When I go out there, it's kind of nice.
Maybe you will now.
You know what I did see out there, and this is this is the worst part of it, actually. And this was a goof on my part, but this gets into thoughts on the run, is lots of deer fly.
Oh.
I did 12 miles, roughly 20K, and I killed 20 deer fly.
Wow.
And counted. So I did. I was counting them. So basically one per kilometer.
Wow.
And you know what it made me think of? You know, remember the video game Yar's Revenge?
No.
Do you know that video game? It's an Atari game, so it's before your time, but I didn't know. So anybody who knows Yar's Revenge, that's what I felt like. Like Yar is like this little fly, and the fly has to eat away at the shield while this other thing or whatever is shooting at the fly.
Okay.
And once you eat away at the shield, then Yar, the fly, can also then shoot into the evil thing or whatever.
Yeah.
I felt like my head was that shield where the flies were just biting at my head. I forgot to put on bug spray. So it kind of felt a little bit like Yar. Remind me of Yar's Revenge when I was out there.
That's the thought on the run.
That was my thought on the run. Yeah. It's like, oh yeah, that old video game, Yar's Revenge. That was fun.
Sure. You know, I know that you just mentioned bug spray. My go-to is a hat.
Yeah.
With a flap in the back.
Yeah, that works super well.
Flap in the back is really nice.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like the deer flies, you know, they can really get at you.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't really get under your clothes and things. Like, mosquitoes can sometimes bite at you.
Right. You can get through the clothes sometimes.
Especially like a lightweight, you know, material. But I feel like even if you have, you know, like a t-shirt on instead of a jersey or something,
mm-hmm.
and the hat with the flap, because they bug my head more than anything. You know, the hat is crucial.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is sometimes enough to make a big difference.
It is. And I totally forgot. It was my first run with really buggy run like that.
Yeah.
And I just totally forgot. When we go do a family vacation at the end of this month, early August, every year over kind of by Park Rapids, and it's like deer fly central over there with all the lakes and the woods and everything.
Right.
And so before I go for a run, I'm spraying like head to toe with off. hardcore deep. Absolutely. Yeah, give me the nuclear stuff sure. And that works.
Yeah.
But yeah, the hat works really well with the flap for sure.
Yeah. I got into a section biking on Saturday on a gravel road off Mungershaw Road, kind of way out Mungershaw, the gravel portion, like the farthest north on Mungershaw you can get. And the deer flies, the cloud of them blocked out the sun.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was prolific.
Yeah. They're so bad.
Hopefully you didn't notice that.
No, we didn't have that many, but I've had that too, like on Fox Farm or... what's the other one out there? Rossini.
Yeah.
Yeah, that they can get pretty heavy out there.
Biking, they usually stay behind you. Running, they'll just eat you.
They just attack.
Yeah. And they were, it went on Fox Farm as well. They were kind of bad on Fox Farm, but not as bad.
Yeah.
But they were still there. You know, you look back, you see the shadow first. You see
right
the shadow
on the gravel road.
It's like, oh yeah. And then you look back, it's like, oh yeah, for sure.
There's like hundreds of them behind you.
But then I passed the SHT trailhead.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, I probably got it pretty easy out here in this open road. I can bike fast, you know. Like,
yeah.
If they're out here, they're definitely in there.
No doubt.
I'm sure there's some stories out there about prolific bugs this weekend.
So, yeah, that was the worst part of my run, was the deer fly.
Yeah. It's funny in the winter, you think like, oh my gosh, it's so cold and like got to get outside, and it's dark out, you know. But in the winter, you don't think of the flies and the itchy plants and the heat.
Yeah.
And the, you know, it's
relentless
like,
sun and all that.
It's not all peaches and roses, you know, in the summer either.
Right, exactly.
let's see. Oh, I have a gear review.
Nice.
Now, this piece of gear I purchased actually several years ago, but it is the Ultimate Direction. It's a pack. I don't even know what it's called. It's the Jurek Collection. FKT vest.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I bought it when I was kind of training for a Superior hiking trail, fastest known time, and scrapped the plan. But either way, I wanted to get all the gear, and I was like, well, this is about as fitting as a piece of gear as I could possibly buy. And I love it. So, you know, especially in this time of year, it's really hot. You have to have your hydration. You know, it's always a question what type of hydration option is going to be the least, I guess, uncomfortable, mm-hmm. you know, because they're all kind of uncomfortable. Your hands get sweaty in this handheld, you know.
Right.
And I really like this Ultimate Direction vest. It's really lightweight, mm-hmm. which I've actually ripped it, and it's, you have to kind of be tender with it.
Oh, wow.
Which is not something that you really want to be tender with, right? I mean, you kind of jostling around all over the place, slinging around and stuff. So that's my one downside. But on the upside, I mean, it's so much more comfortable that way, and it's lighter. You don't really feel it. When the water bladder shrinks down, you know, to empty from 2 liters, it feels natural. Like, it's not baggy bouncing around. Like, my other one, I have a North Face one that's a little more rigid.
Okay.
And it feels different. It's not as, almost like loose and floppy.
Interesting.
So this one I really like. It just kind of conforms.
Huh.
And it's not rigid at all. It's all fabric.
Yeah.
Practically. But really nice. If you're looking for a hydration vest of any type, and I use it all the time. I mean, for just like hikes, even if I don't have a water bladder in it, it's a great option. So, and just in general, you know, for people, I think to explore a really non-rigid type vest, it's more like form-fitting.
Yeah.
It has the front bottles, and it's just a good versatile option. So, again, it's called the Ultimate Direction. I don't even know if they make it anymore, but Ultimate Direction running vest.
Yeah,
I'm sure
they
have
make
similar
great product.
Yeah,
for
so
sure.
I like that one.
Yeah.
I like that piece of gear a lot, and I've been using it a lot with this kind of heat. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
On the bike, too?
On the bike, yep. Yeah. That's what I've been doing on the bike for gravel riding.
Yeah, those running packs, quote-unquote running packs, work great on the bike.
Yeah, surprisingly.
Yeah.
Excellent, so.
Yep.
What are you into lately, Tony?
What am I into? Well, you know what? We just got back from a trip to Yellowstone. We did Teddy Roosevelt and then Yellowstone, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of, in a way, I'm still, I'm just starting now to get out of vacation mode a little
right.
bit. We got back on Wednesday, but I feel like even up until today, I was still in vacation mode. Plus, we got back on Wednesday and pretty much boom, the holiday is here.
Yeah, right.
So, I kind of still have some Yellowstone in my head a little bit, and in my, you know, the pictures and images in my head.
Yeah.
Just a really amazing place. Have you been there, Mike?
No.
Man, it's 3,400 square miles of just like infinite wilderness of waterfalls and valleys and mountains and the geysers, of course. It's pretty incredible. I was amazed at how much I liked it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
So go there for sure.
Okay. Bucket list. So, let's see. Finally, our final segment, the shout outs. I don't really have any, but I know you do.
I do. I've got a few shout outs. First, to a former podcast guest, Mr. Harry Cottrell. Shout out to him. I know he's back running and performing pretty well, and super cool to see him doing that. I'm excited to see what he does in the racing scene. Hopefully we see him at Park Point, but if not, I'm sure we'll see him in a race coming up real quick. I know he's done the Tunnel 10K a couple of times in the past, so maybe he'll be there for that one as well.
It's never too late. You know, I think that's so cool, because when we interviewed Harry, I remember him saying he'd hung it up.
Yeah.
He's done running.
Yeah.
And now back.
Obviously he's feeling good and
so cool.
Happy to be running again. So
yeah.
We're happy to see him running again. I actually saw him on the lake walk jogging one day a couple weeks prior to Grandma's.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Another shout out that I have is to the local high school runners out there who are getting ready for the cross country season. I know captain's practice began. I know Duluth East was actually supposed to start today. I don't know if they did because of the heat or not, but they were supposed to start today at 4 o'clock Monday. And so it's, to all the high school kids out there getting ready for their season, good luck to you guys and work hard and have fun. Big shout out to them.
Great.
And two more. One is to Duluth Timing and Events. When doing the Lake Nebagamon 5 miler last weekend, Duluth Timing and Events were there. Chris was there along with Carrie, and it was just cool to see. And it's nice. I was thinking about just what a nice contribution, you know, a timing company like that makes to the local running scene. It really adds value to Duluth's scene here, and volunteers who help out with races. Everybody, you know, knows and appreciates volunteers, but it really is important to really acknowledge that, again, it adds so much value to an actual race to have all those people contributing, not just race directors, but all the other people who are contributing to a race to make it such a cool event.
Like the history, you know, like that's the log of what happened.
Absolutely.
It's important for historically, I think.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. And then our last one is to another former podcast guest, Mr. Matt Welch, is on a cross-country bike ride right now, Portland, Oregon to Portland, Maine. Crazy. And he just got started not long ago, so I think he's somewhere maybe reaching the Rocky Mountains. I don't know if he's quite that far yet, but his website is runtheprocess.com, and you can follow him on that and see where he's at. So really cool to see him doing that for sure.
I mean, it's kind of inspirational. You know, you have a... I know Matt has had these lofty goals, you know, as a professional runner, essentially, or, you know, elite status. And you wouldn't think that someone who's, you know, going after a sub-4 mile or, you know, training to be in the Olympic trials, you know, represent USA in the Olympics would just kind of set it all aside and bike across the country.
Right.
But it's really cool to see, you know, yeah, that would be fun to track along.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be cool to watch him go through the website, and we're going to have a little interview with him for our next podcast as well.
Cool.
So stay tuned for that.
Cool. Should we get to our interview portion here?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.